had previously mentioned the din of chait and kot in contrasting it with the Mordechai's din of sakana, but let's analyze that in its own context now. If you look in Sif Yud Aleph and Shulchan Aruch, chait or kot hatachad b'basar, if you have an arrow or a thorn, a splinter, that is embedded in the skin, in the flesh, im nira mi b'chut, it's chotetz, im eino nira eino chotetz. So if it is visible from outside the body, it constitutes a chatzitza. If not, it does not constitute a chatzitza. What is the source of this halacha? There's a mishnah in the end of Mikvos, Perek Yud Mishnah Ches, chait shiutach of the Adam, if you have a chait embedded in a person, bizman shehu nira chotetz, im eino nira tovel v'ochel v'tumasa. If the chait is visible from the outside, then it constitutes a chatzitza. If not, then the person is free to be tovel and act accordingly. What's the distinction, what's the basis of this distinction between nira mi b'chutz and eino nira b'chutz? The Rush there in his Perish HaMishnayis explains, quoted the Beis Yosef here, that if it's nira, so then presumably some of it is coming out of the person's body, and therefore constitutes a chatzitza. The distinction isn't just visibility, but whether the maisa is protruding or not. Fine. If you look on the page here, both in the Taz and the Shach, you would have noticed this in the Beis Yosef, in case you didn't see the Beis Yosef, the Taz here in Sifkatan Tes Vav, and the Shach in Sifkatan Yud Zayin, both point out that there's a line that appears in the Torah that the Mechaber omitted from Shulchan Aruch here. And that line is, Im Allah alav krum shel basar, if there is a scab, if there's some skin that grows over the embedded object, b'chol inyan eino chotzeis. So then it doesn't constitute a chatzitza, whether or not it is, technically speaking, nira or eino nira. So where does that line come from? That's based on a Tosefta. The Rash in the end of Mikvos quotes the Tosefta. The Tosefta is Perek Zayin Tosefta Tes, in one of the breakdowns of how you count Toseftas. But it's Tosefta towards the end of Mikvos, whatever your count is. I think some have it in Perekhes. I don't know how all the breakdowns work. So the Tosefta in the end of Mikvos has the following. Nichnas lo chait b'yirecha, if a person has an arrow that's embedded in his thigh, Rabbi Omer eino chotzeitz, the Chachamim Omerim hareza chotzeitz. So machlokas, Rabbi and Chachamim, if you have an embedded arrow in your body, does that constitute a chatzitza? Fine. B'medvar mamurim b'shel matachas. Where is this machlokas relevant? It's relevant if the material is metal, if it's a metal arrow. Aval b'shel eitz, hareza chotzeitz. If, however, it's wood, then everyone agrees that it constitutes a chatzitza. So if you have a metal arrow embedded, that's a machlokas tanayim. If you have a wooden arrow that's embedded, that is definitely a chatzitza lukuliyama. The im kara malafa or milmala, and if there is skin that develops over the arrow, hakol modim she'eino chotzeitz. And everyone agrees, whatever the material is, sounds like, everyone agrees that does not constitute a chatzitza. So if it's made out of mateches, if it's made out of eitz, everyone agrees it is a chatzitza. If it's made out of mateches and there's a krum, everyone agrees it's not a mechitza. And if it's made out of a mateches without a krum, then that's a machlokas. So there's a bit of a confusion in the Beis Yosef and the Shach over here, the Shach and Sivkata and Yud Zayin. How do you square the Mishnah with the Tosefta? The Mishnah very simply distinguishes between Nira and Eino Nira. If it's Nira, there's a problem. If it's Eino Nira, there's no problem. And that's basically what's reflected in Shulchan Aruch here in Sif Yud Aleph. But there's no indication of any distinction between Matachas and Eitz. Nor is there any mention of Alokrum. However, the Mishnah Tosefta, the Tosefta has a more complicated version. Number one, at least within one day in Tanarim, there's a distinction between Matachas and Eitz. And you also have this din of Krum. So how do you square the Tosefta with the Mishnah? So the Shach over here in Sivkat and Yudzayin assumes that the Tosefta is talking about a case of Nira. Tosefta is talking about a case where the Tosefta is only talking about a case of Nira, where you can see the embedded material from the outside, and then it reads as follows. Nitnaso Chet Birecho, so you have a Chet in the body, and it is discernible from the outside. Rabbi Omer Eino Chotzei. Rabbi says that Chet, where it is discernible, is still not a Chatzitza. So even though it's near it, still not a Chatzitza. The Chacham Omer Eino Chotzei. Chacham say no. If it's near it, it is a Chatzitza. So then, our Mishnah that says, Chet Yutacha Ba'adam is Manchu Nira Chotzei, it's at Chitas Chachamim. According to Rebbe, if it was Nira, it's Eino Chotzei. So our Mishnah that says, Nira is Chotzei, that's Chitas Chachamim. And then, when the Tosefta goes on to distinguish between Mateches and Eitz, that's only relevant within Chitas Rebbe. Rebbe who says that Nira is Eino Chotzei, that's only if it's Mateches, but if it's Chol Eitz, it is Chotzei. So the reason that the Mishnah makes no mention of the distinction between Matechas and Eitz is because that whole distinction is only within Shitas Rabbi. It's the Lod Kehalacha. Our Mishnah is like the Rabbin, like the Shitas Chachamim. And there's no need to distinguish, that distinction is not true, Lalacha, between Matechas and Eitz. And furthermore, there isn't really any chiddush according to the Shach in the case of krum, because if we're talking about eino nira, sorry, if we're talking about nira, so in the case of olo krum, that's obviously eino nira. So you don't need to tell me the din of krum because our whole context is nira. Nira is going to be a chatzitza. Eino nira is pashut is not a chatzitza, and olo krum also is pashut is not a chatzitza. Because that's effectively Eino Nira. That's how the Shach understands the difference between the Mishnah and the Tosefta. He points out that's the Shita of many Rishonim, including the Rambam. The Rambam is Perek Beis Mikvaos Halacha Ches, I think. Where the Rambam just quotes the Mishnah Kitzuraso. So he thinks the Rambam is of this opinion as well. Many other Rishonim that he puts in this camp as well. Okay, so that's the position of the Shach, that the Tosefta is talking about Nira, and Shitas Chachamim is that Nira is a Chatzitza, and that's what's reflected in our Mishnah. The whole distinction between Eitz and Matechas is only with the Shitas Rebbe, and that's the Lo Kehalacha. Good? Okay. The Beis Yosef understood differently, and that's what everyone jumps on the Beis Yosef about. The Beis Yosef understood that the Tosefta is talking about Eino Nira. So the Tosefta says, Nifnas lo chet v'recho, Rebbe Omer eino chotzeis. That's talking about where it's eino nira, where it's embedded. According to Rebbe, if it's embedded, it's not chotzeis. According to the Chachamim, even if it's embedded, it is chotzeis. And then the Tosefta says, Medvar mur mishal matachas, aval b'shal eitz, harezo chotzeis. So when do the Chachamim say that even if it's Eino Nira, it's Chotzeis? That's only if it is. Sorry, when do the Chachamim say? Sorry, when Rebbe says Eino Chotzeis, when Rebbe says Eino Chotzeis, that if it is Eino Nira, it's Eino Chotzeis. That's only talking about Mataches. But if it's Shal Eitz, then Eino Nira, Rebbe will agree, is also Chotzeis. Then it comes out, according to Beis Yosef, that the Mishnah that says the distinction between Chotzeis and Eino Chotzeis is Shitas Rabbi and not Shitas Chachamim. So the Beis Yosef is Mokim. Our Mishnah is essentially a Das Yachid. Okay, that's one problem. But the Shach says even further, then you don't really understand, according to the Beis Yosef, why is the distinction between Eitz and Mateches not quite in our Mishnah as well? Because according to the Beis Yosef, that distinction is within Shitas Rebbe. According to the Beis Yosef, our Mishnah reflects Shitas Rebbe. So then the Mishnah in Mikvos should have had this distinction between Eitz and Matachas. That's the Shach's very strong kasha on the Beis Yosef. If you you look on the side of the Tor, the Agos and Ha'aros on the side says that the best he could do, Luli Din Stefina, is to suggest that the Beis Yosef had a different girsa in the Tosefta, which is consistent with the girsa that you find in the Mordechai, such that the distinction between Eitha Matachis is really within Shitas Chachamim, now within Shitas Rebbe, and is talking about a case of Karma Lahaor. So you can go through that and make the Cheshbon how that works out, but the bottom line, the way the Beis Yosef appears with Faneinu, is very difficult to understand. So what do we assume lehalacha? Again, in Shulchan Aruch we just have the plain distinction between nira mi v'chutz and eino nira v'chutz. What's considered nira and eino nira? So the Bach over here is concerned that we don't really know how to distinguish between nira and eino nira. So let's say you have something that is under the layer of skin, but you can still see from the outside. You have a splinter. So the splinter is totally covered by a layer of skin, but if you're looking from the outside, you can still see that there's a splinter there. Is that considered nira or eino nira? According to the Rush's understanding that we started with, that the reason for the distinction of nira between nira and eino nira is because nira presumably is sticking out of the body. So then the critical point is whether it's sticking out, not whether it's visible per se. But the Bach Lahalacha is at least choshesh that maybe even if it's visible, even if it's not sticking out, that would be a problem. The Bach thinks, therefore, Lahalacha, you should be choshesh even if you could see it, it's not protruding out. However, the Shach is make. The Shach here in Sifkatan Tez Zayin says that Koshu Shavu Labasa Kari Nira, Pishu Meshuka Havi Eino Nira. That as long as it's under this layer of skin, that is halachically eino nira, and the shach here is accepted lahalacha, the Rosh Hashanah, the Chachmas Adam, we assume like the shach, that as long as it's totally under the skin, no part is protruding, that does not pose a problem of chatzitza, and in theory, there isn't even any lechachila to try to get out a splinter under those circumstances. The Taras Abayis quotes on page Samach Gimel, we're in volume 3 of the Taras Abayis, quotes from a Marsham Daf Torah. What happens if you have a splinter and you knew it was there and now you can't find it? A missing splinter that was there an hour ago and now you don't know what happened. So he thinks that you have a Sveika Derabban Lukula, perhaps multiple Sveikas. Number one, you don't know, maybe it actually left the body by now, or maybe it's totally embedded under the skin, and you wouldn't be able to find it anyway. So the Marasham thinks that in that case, if it was there before, but you don't see it now, you have the right to be mekel, sveika d'rabbanan l'kula. Okay, so beyond the general issue of splinters, which could come up, most of us hopefully don't have embedded arrows in our bodies. Splinters do happen, so again, there the operating rule is that if it is in any way sticking out, you have to remove it. If it is totally under the skin, no need to remove it. But this is potentially more relevant to the question of stitches. That's what Rabbi Yosha points out, Kovitz Shuvah Stelik Aleph Simen Peites, in a letter to a Shuvah to Rafai Balkon, the Mechaber the Bavli Shofan. So Rabbi Yosha points out over there that presumably stitches are the halachic equivalent to splinters. And if you have stitches that are, you know, the normal kind of, for the moment we're talking about the old stitches that need to be removed, not dissolvable stitches, which we'll get to in a little while. So if you have a stitch that's stitching the skin and protruding out, as is more normally the case, then that would be equivalent to a kos that is near a mibachutz, which would be a problem of a chatzitza. Ramosha assumes this way as well. Yeridea Cheli Dei Simen Pei Zayin. Yeridea Cheli Dei Simen Pei Zayin. Ramosha there is discussing stitches that are inside the mouth, where potentially you could have had another sniff lakula, as some posts can discuss, which is that it's a Besa Sarim. The Besa Sarim, many assume, is only a concerned meter abundant to begin with. So potentially you could have had a greater reason, lakel, when it comes to stitches in the mouth, because it's the Besa Sarim. Nevertheless, Ramosha thinks that it is potentially problematic. If it's in an area of the mouth where it's totally not visible, so then maybe it's like a makom balua. Makom balua, there's no problem with chatzisa. But if it's in a place where it's visible, then presumably you're considered to be makpedas, because you don't want the stitches there long term, even if you want them there at the moment. And even if it's a basis darim, you need Rai Labias Mayim, and it would constitute a chatzitza. So Ramosha thinks that regular stitches are a problem of chatzitza. Dovi Mishar, the Chabina Rav, Chela Gimel Simimem is more makel the basis darim if it's something in the mouth, because based on the Tzatzofer that we saw last time, that's something which is there for medical reasons, like the Ritiyah, under certain circumstances would be considered Eino Makbid and not Potsates. So even though he's not willing to accept that across the board, if it's only Beis HaSarim, he's more inclined to be Mako, given that according to some, Beis HaSarim is only a problem, either Abanan, to begin with. Shlomo Zalman also has quoted as assuming that stitches are a problem of Chatzitza. Nishma Savram over here, and this if in Shulchan Aruch says that he discussed with Rishon Zalman, even though right now you want the stitches to be there, but it's not due to circumstances that are under your control, and in the big picture you don't want them there, and that's considered to be makpedes. Rabbi Karp points out Mishmeres HaTaira Ha'ara 180, this is his piece on Seder Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah Berurah style part in the end of Volume 2. He points out, even though we're machmir on stitches, he quotes from Rav Yashu as well, Rav Yashu is more machmir on stitches, unless there are strongly extenuating circumstances of a chashash michshal, or he quotes from Rav Yashu, there might be more grounds to be made for Bali Tshuva, but in principle we're machmir on stitches. Rabbi Karp does point out that in theory, stitches are better in a sense than the bandage. So even if you're going to be machmir on a bandage and say that even if it's for medical reasons, that's still a problem of chatzitza, stitches are a stitch better because they are more embedded in the body. So it's more arguable that it's considered batel laguf, and it might be better than a ritia, even though in general, we'd be machmir on stitches. Yeah.
Did we see, let's say, the thing that you're covering the body with lymph that absorbs water itself? Is that considered a chatzitza still, or is it not considered a
chatzitza? That should make a difference, because it's still on the body, and it's still considered a chatzitza, even if it itself absorbs water. Rav Avadia Tate Sanofei writes that he thinks he could be makel b'shas hatzach, based on the Ksav Sofer, where there's tsar to remove it, that would make it considered to be Eino Makbid. Vadir Shulchan is an interesting Svara Lekula. In the Be'urim to Sif Kaf Gimel, Yibam Askel Be'eged, Be'urim to Sif Kaf Gimel, he writes that even by permanent stitches, there is a tzad to be mako, because maybe it's like a temporary filling. So probably next time we'll talk about teeth issues and Ramosha's tshuva by temporary fillings. The gist of Ramosha's kula by temporary fillings, chelak aleph siman tzadi zayin, is that a temporary filling number one is totally embedded in the body and the tooth, and number two, it's going to be replaced with a permanent filling right away, so that area is always going to be covered for the rest of your life. So the Vadar Shulchan says, well, maybe stitches are analogous to temporary fillings because they're embedded in the body. So in the Sefer Mari Cohen, it's Rav Reuben from Harnof, Perek Zayin Ha'ara Lamed Aleph, he points out the Vadar Shulchan's analogy isn't so clear, because even if you're going to say it's also embedded in the body, but you don't have the other svar that Moshe has by temporary fillings, that is going to be replaced by a permanent filling, and that area is always going to be filled up. So he finds the Badi Shulchan's side of the Hakel there a little bit difficult. The bottom line, the general consensus of Poskim is that the baseline is when it comes to stitches that need to be removed by a doctor, it's a problem with chatzitza. So usually the recommendation is, if it's going to be removed in a relative short order of time, to wait until it's going to be removed. And under extenuating circumstances where it's got to be there for a very long time, then that would have to be analyzed on a case-by-case basis, whether there are any grounds lahakel, if it's a base of sarim, and a map, there are more grounds lahakel, but that would have to be a case-by-case analysis. When it comes to dissolvable stitches, so then there's a lot more room to be mako among poskim. Shirei Shevet Alevi over here on Sif Yud Aleph writes that dissolvable stitches are not chotzeitz. In the Sefer Chokuzman, page Reish Kavches, he quotes from Rav Shlomo Zalman Ullman, who was a posek in Bnei Brak, a dying Bnei Brak, who just passed away about a year ago. So he quotes from him an interesting raya from a Rashi in Shabbos that dissolvable stitches are not a chatzitza. You really have to have the keys to be sensitive to write like this. So the Gemara on Daf Tesvav Amibes quotes the Mishnah Mikvos, the Elu Chosetzin Bekelim Hazefes V'Hamor B'Kli Zechuchis. So tar is Chotzeitz on a Kli Zechuchis. Why? Says Rashi Shehein Cholakin V'Ein Adam Makbid Al Kit V'Davar Achar Nidbak Behem. So if you have a glass kli, the glass is very smooth, and people aren't generally makbid. If you have some tit that adheres to the side of the glass kli, people aren't makbid. Lefisha nofa me'ela, because it's going to fall off on its own. V'hanihu demidbikituva v'kapitalayu. It's only if you have something like tar, which is strongly adhering, that people are makbid on, because it's not going to come off on its own. Mashma, if you have something that comes off on its own, that doesn't constitute a chazitza. So if you have dissolvable stitches that are going to dissolve on their own, people wouldn't be makbid on that, and it's not a chazitza. So you could obviously distinguish between standards for kli and standards for person in terms of kveda, but he suggests that in Zaraya that dissolvable stitches are not a problem of chazitza. The Badr Shulchan in that same piece in the Beyurim and Sif Kaf Gimel, he's mako on dissolvable stitches as well. He thinks that's analogous to the Ramban on scabs. Remember, we saw the Ramban says when it comes to scabs, if it's something where there's tsar to remove it, and it's going to fall off on its own, then it's not chotzeitz. So you see that if it's going to fall out on its own, not chotzeitz. Says the Mari Cohen there, that we just quoted before, in Parizayin Ha'arulam in Beis. Again, not such a clear analogy. In the case of the scab, it's part of the body. It's part of the growth of the body. So there, the Ramban is makeover is going to fall off on its own. But if it's a superimposed substance, you're imposing stitches on the body, maybe that's not the same. The Sefer Mari Cohen quotes that Rav Yashiv is machmer on dissolvable stitches. So quotes Rabbi Morgenstern B'Shem Rav Yashiv. But I think that the broader consensus among poskim is that we're more mako on dissolvable stitches. Again, if it's going to come out in a day, so you have to figure out whether there's a need to wait that short amount of time. Shari Tfila in Siman Lamed, yeah.
Let's say we're afraid of infection. That let's say we can use dissolvable stitches.
I don't think that's in most circumstances, my impression is that it's not a medical concern. If it was a concern, then you'd have to address it. Okay, Shari Tfila in Siman Lamed discusses chatzitza issues relating to a G tube and the like, a feeding tube, or something that is inserted into the body semi-permanently or permanently. He discusses that if it's there semi-permanently, that's already considered part of the body, heine revise, so it might not be the chatzitza for that reason, and there's a sakana to remove it, as we discussed. And then he discusses if at the point of contact between the tube and the body, can water get underneath? And it's better, even if water can't get underneath, still it's considered part of the body. If it's dangerous to have water go in, so then you could put in a stopper on the inside, which isn't a chatzitza because it's on the inside of the tube, which is considered part of the body. So yeah, that discussion. If you look in the Sefer Pua, they quote similar discussions about tracheostomies and other things that are inserted into the body in a permanent fashion or semi-permanent fashion, and the medical and halachic issues that would potentially arise over there. We're not going to discuss all those details. You can take a look there if you're interested. Okay, let's move on now to discuss tzeva. Sif Yuzayin of Achaber writes, tzeva shetzovos hanashim al pinehen v'yadehen. So if you have color, dye, the women dye on their faces and hands, v'sar roshin of their hair, ein ofotzeis. Does not constitute a chatzitza. V'chei mishahut saba, if a person is a professional painter, the yad of tzvuos ein chotzeis, and he always has paint on his hand because that's part of the profession, then that person is considered ein makbid, and it doesn't constitute a chatzitza. Rama, v'chei mishahut nasa liyot shofet, a person is a professional shofet or kasher, butcher, the yad of tamim v'chachos v'dam, and he always has blood in his hands, not in the colloquial sense, eino chotzeitz, sherov bnei nos umanuzu eino makpidim. That's not considered a kpeda, because that is the norm, that is the industry standard, that people who are professional butchers always have blood on their hands. Yeah?
What's the difference between the chaver and the ad, where it sounds like we go according to a row of people, not individual
people? So even though we go according to a row of people, there's a, if you have a class of people that have different standards, that's talking about bala daito isokal adam, if you're looking at the world at large. But if there's a sub-professional class of people that have their own internal rules and industry standards, then we look at that class of people.
Thank you. In Orachayim, we mentioned by Halachos Yerchos Kohanim, there's concept of Dash Be'iro.
Okay.
And after 30 days, that person is considered normal.
Okay.
Would that similar idea wouldn't apply here?
In what direction?
In the situation by Yerchos Kohanim, it's considered...
No, I understand, but how would you... What do you want to say
over here? Over here, if a person is... If it's... You know, has paint on their hands.
Right.
If they have paint on their hands.
Right.
There's not one person that has paint on their hands. Yeah. And according to Berachos Kohanim, that person would be considered dash b'iro, and therefore could be allowed to delve
right.
Because it's
right.
Their norm.
Right.
That'd be the same situation here.
You're saying for someone who's not a painter?
Someone who's not a painter.
Someone who's not a painter, you still say bala daitoi sokolodam. Because we're looking at the
role.
Right. Not for the fact that you're part of a profession, that profession has its own standards. Otherwise, you say bala daitoi sokolodam. Okay, so what is the basis of the Tzadok and the Mechaber? It comes from a Rashba. Rashba in Torah Sabayisa Aruch, the very end of Bayu Zayin Shar Zayin, the end of 7-7. Rashba writes, Nashim Shetzovos Yideim Lenoi. The women who dye their hands for cosmetic reasons. Mistaber Sheino Choseis. Mistaber is not a Chatzitza. Why? Denoi Hu Lehen. It's considered Noi. It's considered cosmetic. Considered beautifying. The Einan Makpidos Asiran, they're not makpid to remove it. Adarabba Rosa Sein Dikiyumo. Adarabba, they want it. It's for cosmetic reasons. The Ode, Deleka El Chazus of Alma. And furthermore, there's no mamashus. There's no substance to it. It's only Chazus, it's only appearance, but there's no mamashus. And to have a chazisa, you have to have mamashus. So the Machlokas Achronim, and we'll see a Machlokas Rishonim, whether these two reasons stand alone or do you need both of them? And the Rashba mentioned two things. Number one is noy, number one is cosmetic. And number two, it's only chazusa ba'alma, there's no mamashus, it's only an appearance, there's no substance to it. So in order to cash in on the Rashba's kula, do you need to have both reasons at play, that is both lenoy and chazusa? So let's say you have something that's cosmetic, but it's not just because there's an alma, there's actually some substance. Or let's say you have something of no substance, but it's not cosmetic. So do you need both reasons, or is one reason sufficient? So in the Rashba and Torah Sabayis, it's not really clear. The Rashba quotes the two reasons. It's not clear in that presentation whether you need both reasons in order to invoke this kula.
And the rush is the same, the rush is ambiguous, but you don't
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think. It may be a little bit mashmaos, the ode is the first reason stands alone, and the ode a second additional reason, but not behechrech. If you look in the Rashi and Tshuva, the Rashi and Tshuva is a little clearer. Tshuva is a Rashba, Miyuchasos, Simen Kuf Kaf Dalid, Simen Kuf Kaf Dalid. So, first of all, it seems that the Rashba there had a more... The Rashba references what he writes in Torah Sabayis, so it sounds like there is a more expanded version than what we have in Torah Sabayis of this presentation. But the Rashba has the following line. Again, he's talking about Minag Anoshim Ashofnos Varsas Aravim in the Arab lands, Shetzovos Yedein Betzeva Kari Shnidra, that they would dye their hands in this color. So is that a chatzitz or not? Says the Rashba, again, Tshuvas HaBichasa Simen Kuf Kaf Dalet. I guess this tshuva is probably a good raya that the miyuchasos are... The tshuva's miyuchasos, the Ramban, is that people at one point thought that that volume of tshuva's the Rashba was really the Ramban. This tshuva is probably a good raya against that because at the end of the tshuva, the Rashba quotes that he discussed his maskana with the Ramban and the Ramban was modetim alach lamaisa. I'm sure there are other plenty of other pieces of evidence as well, but this tshuva seems clear that you can't claim this is the Ramban writing it because... The Rashba goes around about. Be that as it may. Rashba writes, the ein doma l'ksav shachotes, that if you have this kind of applied color, it's not analogous to ink, which is chotes. Shema mosho shol dio l'ksav, because when you write something, when you use ink, there's mamashas in the ink, there's substance. The chayin hanoshim shemalachta litzvoa, the women who are painters, yerali she'ein osa tseva cha'ayidein chotzeitz, the paint on their hands is not chotzeitz, minatamazeh, she'ein mamasho shel tseva, ela mariso shel tseva. There's no mamashos, it's only an appearance. Ve'od shemalachta v'kachayin ha'pedes, and it's their profession. So the mashmos of the Rashba here is that if you have mamashos, again, in dome l'ksav shachotez shemamasho shel dio b'ksav, so if you were to have mamashos, then that would be a problem of chatzitza, even if you're not makbir. And he's making a distinction, an absolute distinction between the case of tseva, of tzovos yedein, and the case of Dio. Dio is a problem because there's mamashas, and here there's no mamashas. So it sounds like, at least in that direction, if you have mamashas, it's going to be chotzeitz, even if it's eino makbid, even if it's lanoi. Anytime you have mamashas, it's going to be a problem, even if it's lanoi. The Me'iri sounds like the two reasons stand alone in both directions. The Me'iri on that Mishnah Mikvos, page 99 in the printed Me'iri. So he writes as follows. Ein atseva shebehem chatzitza, afilu hayubo kitzas mamashis. So the color that we're talking about, applied to the body, does not constitute chatzitza, even if there is mamashis. They recover their eyelashes. If they're doing it for cosmetic reasons, they're not makbid. Adaraba rosas bikiyuma. On the contrary, they want it there. The kosher kain im ein shama mashas she'enu elamar levat. And all the more so if there's no mamashas. So that the kol shekeinu ein mamashas sounds like even if there is mamashas, we'd be mekel v'sanoi. And even better, where there's no mamashas. So even better if it's lanoi and chazusa ba'alma, but it sounds like even if it wasn't chazusa ba'alma, even if there was mamashas, as long as it's lanoi, that's considered eino makbid. So you can rely on chazusa ba'alma. Sorry, you can rely on the fact that it is lanoi, even if it's not chazusa ba'alma, even if there is mamashas. And similarly, the Me'iri here in our Sugya, Samach Bava Mimeis, paragraph beginning Sesha V'Yarnu, Mikan Yesh Lachish V'meshach Asavnu V'inyan Aseva Shirov Nei Adam Asukin V'kach Kepedam Aleim La'arve Shabbasos. Even though most people remove it before Shabbos, Ela Sheyesh Lahakel Mitzad She'eno Ela Chazusa V'Alma. Here it sounds like even if it's not lanoi, you can be mekel even if, as long as it is chazusa ba'alma. So the Me'iri here is writing that if there's no mamashas, you can be mekel even if it's lanoi. And the Me'iri on the Mishnayos and Mikvos is saying that if you have lanoi, you can be mekel even if there is mamashas. So you have in the Me'iri clear indications of both directions that each reason stands alone on its own. You can have one without the other, either noi or chazusa. The Alma. Michael.
There are nothing they call the same, right? Since there are a lot of Machmir, I feel like you should have any.
So we'll get to that. We're not, we're still in the Rishonim. Okay. Rav Avadia points out that there is a Chuvas Rambam, quoted in Taras Abayis, page Kuf Aleph. Chuvas HaRambam, Simen Kuf Lamed Tes, I don't remember which edition of Chuvas HaRambam that is. The Chuvas HaRambam there says as well, or at least there's a strong mashmas in the Rambam, I forgot to bring the Lashon with me, that if you have something that's lanoi, even if there is mamashus, if you have something that's lanoi, if there is mamashus, it's going to be a chatzitza. So the mashmas of the Chuvas HaRambam there, Nali Demiri, is that mamashis is a problem even if it is lanon. Okay, what do we assume like lahalacha? The Bach writes that you need, the Bach really sounds like you need both reasons. In order to be mekel on tseva, it has to be both lanoi, both for cosmetic purposes, and chazusa ba'alma, and no mamashis. And that's the distinction between kachol, between rouge, which were machmiran as a chatzitza in Se'if Ches, and Seva were a mekel, because kachol has mamashas, and the Seva they're talking about here has no mamashas. Sidrei Taras of Katan Lamed Gimel thinks that the Taz is mekel, that one reason is sufficient. The Taz in Se'if Katan Yud Zayin. Take a look at the Taz inside. Se'if Katan Yud Zayin. The quotes from the Rokeach. Nirim isha naga biyora o kedera vinis pachma bibasar ma'at. The woman touches a pot, the cauldron, and she has some soot that comes on her hand. Ze ino kepeda, afapi she ma'at nidbak bibasar. That's not called kepeda, even though some of it adheres to the skin. Okay, so at first glance, that Rokeach sounds like, even if it's not Illinois, you'd be mekel if it's chazusa ba'alma, because clearly the women aren't getting soot on their hands for cosmetic reasons. Says the Taz, "Umitam zeh danti lahatir beisha shetavla umasa b'makom echad begufa shakroris b'makom shenaga b'kosei beis amercha." So a woman went to the mikvah, and the mikvahs did not have the hygiene of our mikvahs. So when she got out of the mikvah, she discovered that there was a little black mark on her that presumably came from touching the walls of the mikvah. Shayu shorim machmas ashan amerchatz. So he paskin she'enus richa tvila she'enus, the dam yalahash is a charnum, v'kal v'chomer. The standards of cleanliness for hands are higher than for the body. Their hands are always exposed. A woman's more makbid on the appearance of her hands than the appearance of her body. Etc. So if you're going to be mako for the body, if you're going to be mako for hands, as we are over here in Sifyut Zion, so kosher can be mako for the body in the case where it came in contact with some dirt or some soot. So apparently the Taz is paskening that even if it's not in Illinois, you can rely on Chazusa B'Alma. Yeah. Okay. Shiri Shevet Alevi thinks that the Shach also is of this opinion, that one reason alone is sufficient. Shach Sipkat and Kaf Aleph. Afa Bishachof or Rov Haseyar or Kula or Rei Kagufa Shal Seyar in a Chotzeis, Haseyar Kagufa Shal Adav Ode, Shemara Minaseva Ein Bo Mamish. Ve'en Adom Ledyo Shal Chotzeis. So he thinks it sounds like the reason of Chazus of Alma stands alone, independent of Noi. See, the Tanya himself passes that you need both reasons. Although he's willing to be Mako, the Beis Hastarim, a place where it's not really visible, even at a technical Beis Hastarim, because if it's not visible, so then the standards of Makbid are presumably less. And as long as it's Chazus of Alma, the Sidur Torah is willing to be Mako if it's in a covered up area, even if it's not Lanai. Okay, so again, the Shach and the Taz pretty clearly. The Shach maybe sound like each reason alone is sufficient, either reason alone is sufficient. Sidur Torah, the Chafil is Machmir, that you need both reasons like the Bach. Unless it's in a covered area where the Sidur Torah allows for more kulas. Rav Avadia thinks the mashmos of the Mechaber, mashmos of Shulchan Aruch, is that if it's Lanoi, it's not chotzeis, even if there is mamashis, because the Mechaber doesn't anywhere here stress the requirement of Chazus Abalma. Okay. Chachmas Adam Paskins, Simon Kuf Yates If Yud Aleph. Nashim Atzovos Pnei V'Yedei in Lanoi, Yoshim Lachta B'Malacha Satsviya, V'Tam V'Sharm Yedet Svuos, etc. Chen Nispachma Yedeo B'Sar B'Yorah B'Kadei Rech Yossi B'Han like the Taz, Kemish Ein Sham Mamish Rakmar B'Alma Ein Osvicha Tvila Shenis. So the Chachma Sa'ad and Paskin is that even if it is Lanoi, even if it's not Lanoi, like the Taz, if it's Chazusa Ba'alma, then it's not Chotzeis. Shari Tvila points out in Simon Mem Gimel, that's the general consensus among Poskim, that if, in principle, on an Ikar Adin level at least, if you have something that is Chazusa Ba'alma, it's not going to be chotzeis, even if it's not Lanoi. Nevertheless, Ramosha points out, MPJ put out a journal called La Torah La Ra. It still comes out every once in a blue moon. In volume Zion, in they used to have Pesachim for Moshe, some of the tshuvas that were printed in Midrash Moshe, originally printed in the Torah L'Ara, and other Pesachim up by Talmidim. So in volume Zion of the Torah Lara, there's a series of psalms from Moshe about chazita issues. So Moshe writes that lichachila, we're not matir even chazusa she'en b'mamash, we're not matir even if there's no mamashas, unless you have the case of a menasa b'kach, of the professional. And even if it's lenoi, so even if you have both kulas, you have both reasons of the rashba, it's both cosmetic, and there's no mamashas, we're still never make a lichachila, because of the chomer sarama, as Michael pointed out in Sif Aleph, that even by a mir she'en makbid, we're lichachila machmir, that could constitute a chazitza. Piskei Daskos of Rav Yashiv, that lichachila, you would only entertain being mako, again, being mako, when we talk about these, the grounds to be mako, we're usually talking about a bidyevet situation where she already went to the mikvah, you have to redo the tefillah. Because lichachila, as Rav Moshe points out, for anything like this, we never allow you to go to the mikvah lichachila, even if it's lenoi and chazus of alma. The issue is more, post facto, you didn't realize, and then you went to the mikvah, how do we treat that? So, Piskei Daskos from Rav Yashiv, that in general, to be mekel, you need both reasons, like the Sidre Tara, like the Bach, against the Taz. Malkum Sorach, then there's what to talk about to be mekel, even if you only have one reason. Ramosha also points out there that when we say Mikra Adin, we would be Mako if you have something Lenoi. So that's only if the appearance is all there. I mean, let's say we're talking about lipstick or nail polish, which let's say it's Lenoi, let's say we're talking about where there's no mamashas. So even in a bidyevet situation, if we're going to talk about bimeko, we're talking about a case where it's all there. If it was half off and half on, that's worse, because then people are makpidas. You wouldn't go outside with makeup half applied or with nail polish half applied. So it's only where the entire thing is there that you can talk about bimeko bidyevet, where it's Lenoi and Chazusa Ba'alma. And nevertheless, even in that case where everything's there, we're still Machmir based on the Ramah, not to allow tefillah under those circumstances, Lichachila. One second, Michael. So says the Shevet Halevi. And therefore, writes Ramosha there, that there are no grounds to be Mako to allow a woman to wear lipstick Friday night when she's going to the mikveh Friday night, even though she's concerned that if people see she doesn't have makeup applied, then they're going to realize that she's going to the mikveh, and there might be some embarrassment. So Ramosha writes, there's still no grounds to be makel to allow wearing lipstick on Friday night. And Ramosha points out that what we talk about, as we noted earlier, the notion of being master tefillah, the Ramah at the end of the siman. So the master tefillah means, says Ramosha, that you shouldn't go around publicizing the fact that you're going to the mikveh. You shouldn't make an announcement to tell people you're going to the mikveh. The fact that people might find out that you're going to the mikveh if you don't tell them or figure things out on their own, that's not a violation of tznius. That's not a violation of the master tefillah. So that's different than what we noted, interestingly, in the past from Rav Yashiv, that Rabbi Morgenstern quotes, what seemed to be an extreme position in the other direction, that even if one person finds out that you're going to the mikveh, you didn't tell anyone, that's a violation of master tefillah, akadei kach, that if you're in a situation where you suspect someone's going to find out that you're going to the mikveh Friday night, you should delay the leil tefillah. Ramosha is very much not saying that, which I thought was more the way we assume, that the master tefillah means you don't go around publicizing it, but if someone finds out on their own, then you can't... That's not a problem. The Piskei Daskos from Rav Yashiv, in the case of the Friday night tefillah, they have to find a different way to be master tefillasa, but wearing makeup is not an acceptable solution. Michael.
Yeah,
So I didn't say it's not mavashas.
I thought we said that in
order to
have
it cool. So that's a machlokes ha poskim. Lecha again, I think some lipsticks would have mamashas, some lipsticks would not have mamashas. It depends on the type. But as it is a chachila, even if there's no mamashas and it's lanoi, we're mapper because they're rama. Right? The issue is how do you deal with a bidiyavi situation? So then, can you rely on the fact that there was one reason without the other reason, not without the mamashas? I think there are different types. Some have mamashas and some don't. Okay, the Rishonim in this context quote a Gemara in Zvachim that Sadiches related to Chatzitza in the context of Kibbutz for Dam Chatas, right? The din is that if you have a Beged that had Dam Chatas fly on it, that Beged is Tohen Kibbutz. If you look at the base hill here on the side of Shulchan Aruch, he's Mitzayin some of those Mar Mekomas, the Gemara there in Tzvachim. The Gemara says, Tzvachim Tzayi Chatsim in Beis, Kibbutz, so there's a din of Kibbutz, the Gadim from Dam Chatas, Amar Rav Pshitali, Dam Al Bigdo Chotes. Pasha, that if you have dam on your beged, that constitutes a chatzitza. If a beged is tohen tefillah, dam on the beged constitutes chatzitza. The emtava chuein a chotzeitz, but if he's a professional butcher, then it's not a chatzitza. Revav al bigda chotzeitz, if you have a stain on your garment, that constitutes a chatzitza. The mocha revavu, but if you sell stains for a living, ain't no chotzeitz. That's not a chatzitza. Boy, Rava, dam or vava bigdomahu. What's the din if a person has both dam and another stain on the beged? Is that a chatzitza? So im tavachu tevig lemishem revav, imoch revavu tevig lemishem dam. Let's read the David havaha. So he's both a professional butcher and a professional stain seller. So do you say achad lo kavid atrei kavid? So are you allowed to say that since he's both a professional butcher and stain seller, that he's not makbid on either? Take him. The Gemara doesn't resolve that question. Rambam Paskins, Perakim of Mikvas Halacha Zayim. Perakim of Halacha Zayim. Mocha Revav, Shahaya Revav al Bigdo. Ain't no chotzeitz. If you have a stain seller with a stain, not chotzeitz. Clean Kokliyosim is that. Revav. So if he's a professional butcher and stain seller, and he has both, haray ze safek. Im choseis v'mneish ein shnayim v'makbid, haray no choseis, shereim alachu hiv ein makbid. So the Gemara says teku, the Rambam says that's a safek l'dina. So then what do? Says the Magen Avraham, hilchos netilas yadayim, simen kuf samach alef sif zayim. Hilchos Netilas Yadayim Simen Kuf Samach Aleph Sif Zayin. When it comes to Netilas Yadayim, we're Mako. When it comes to Tvila, we're Machmir. Says in the Iri in Mikvos, if you're being Tovel for a Dinda Araisa, then you have to be Machmir. Meaning you went to the Mikvah and you didn't realize that you have this double stain. So if it's for Dinda Reis, you have to be Tovel again. If it's for Dinda Rabban, B'Shas HaTkach, you don't have to be Tovel again. Sidri Taras of Katalam Adalid assumes like the Me'iri, at least Lahachmir, assumes Lahachmir like the Me'iri, that we're Koshesh, that the situation of the double professional would be considered a chatzitza. And the prima godin there in Hilchos Netilas Yadayim is mako, that even by tefillah you can be mako because mira makbid is only mida rabbanan anyway, so there's what to be mako about. Fine. Shuvah Shvus Yaakov Chelak Aleph Simen Samach Tes. Shuvah Shvus Yaakov Chelak Aleph Simen Samach Tes assumes that Gemara in Zvachim is of no relevance to us. Those Rishonim, the Me'iri, seem to assume that whatever is true in the context of kibbutz for dam chatas of beged is true for a chatzisa alukuf as well. As let's say you have a professional painter who is also a professional butcher, and you have both a dam stain and a paint stain on your body, so do you have the right to be mekel? So the Me'iri seems to assume, and that's what we've been working with till now, the Magen Avraham assumes that whatever the Gemara in Zvachim talks about in the context of beged is true in the context of a chatzisa baguf as well. Shmuel Yaakov suggests, no, that whole kul of amnasa b'kach is only relevant for a stain on a beged, but not al haguf. What's his raya? The Gemara in Zvachim lamed hey. Shvachu livnei Aaron sheyelchu ad arkavaseim bedan. Right, it was a positive thing that the Kohanim walked barefoot in the Beis Hamikdash, and they'd be wading in the blood of korbanos. Says the Gemara there in Zvachim Lamed Hey, lachu ve'ino chotzeis. One second. The din is that the feet of the Kohen have to be touching the floor of the Azara. But if there's dam on the floor and the dam goes up their ankles, isn't that a chatzitza? Says the Gemara, the dam is lach. Why is it a chatzitza? It's lach. One second. The Kohanim are professional Kohanim. So if it's the case that materials that are part of your professional responsibilities, where it's the industry norm, don't constitute a chatzitza. So why did the Gemara have to distinguish between lach and yavesh? The Gemara should have said, they're professional kohanim, that's what they do for a living. Dam doesn't constitute a chatzitza, just like the painter and the butcher. Shusyaka says, don't you see from there that the whole exclusion of the painter-butcher is only relevant for begadim, but not for chatzisa beguf. That's what Shus Yaakov is right. Shari Tfila points out, Simon Mem Gimel, that even though most of the Rishonim clearly not assuming this way, but he has a raya from a Rabbeinu Gershom and Chulin Daf Yud. The Gemara there says, Chulin Daf Yud, that if someone is ose kol hayom with a davar hachotzeitz, the tefila doesn't count. What's the case? Says the Rabbeinu Gershom. The case is a sofer that has ink on his hands. So the Rabbeinu Gershom would say, that case, the case of the professional, chatzisa doesn't work. That seems to be a raya to the Shmuel Yaakov, but again, most Yishonim don't assume that way, and we don't seem to assume that way le halacha. Now, Moshe does point out in that piece in L'Torah L'Ra, that when we talk about Ibnasa B'Kach, we talk about a professional, let's say I'm a person who's a painter. So 6 days a week, they don't care if there's paint on their body. Come Shabbos, they clean themselves for Shabbos. So the fact that a person would be makir not to have paint on their body for a chasana, for Shabbos, does that make it considered, is that considered a makir? Moshe says no. Moshe says that even if you're going to remove it for Shabbos or for a special occasion, if normally you go around and you don't care about the stain or the paint on your body, that's not considered to be a chatzitza. The Me'iri that we quoted is not that way. The Me'iri that we quoted in Samach Vav and Beis, Mikan yesh lachush b'mashek hasavnu b'inyan atzaba shero b'nei adam asukin b'kach k'peidim aleyen l'arve shabbasos. Even the professional painters are mapped to clean themselves before Shabbos. Elo sheyesh lahakil mitzad akir she'enu ala chazusa ba'alma. So you can rely on the fact that it's Lenoi, that it's not Machmir because it's Lenoi, because even the professional painters take a shower before Shabbos. So you're left with Chazus HaMamana, but Iri holds that Chazus HaMamana is enough. But you see that in the Iri, not like your Moshe is assuming, that in theory, if you're Machmir for Erev Shabbos, if not for the reason of Chazus HaMamana, the fact that you're Machmir for Erev Shabbos is enough to throw out the professional dispensation. And the Shari feel, of course, the same thing from a Maram Chabiz, like this Me'iri. Okay, we'll stop here. Next time we'll just tie up some loose ends about makeup and the like. And then we'll go weiter in Shulchan Aruch. I already sent you some Ar Mekomos, so you can look at that for next time. Oh, next week is Purim. So I want to get into Chaburos. We can either do Sunday, Tuesday, or Monday, Tuesday. Is anyone not going to be here on Sunday? Is anyone who's not going to be here on Sunday going to be here on Monday? Okay. So you don't have to vote.
Either one's coming.
I think I might not be here Sunday.
Okay.
I have Sunday calling people that aren't